السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. صدق اللہ العظیم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters who listen over receivers, last week we continued with that ayat of the Quran Sharif which I have been discussing. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. After having explained that, then we went on to the sifat or the characteristics of those who are believers, of those people whose life and property Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has purchased, and in exchange He has promised them Jannat. Of course, this was referring to those Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een who took bayat upon the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But extended it, it is for all believers until the day of Qiyamah. That if they have got these sifat, if they have got these characteristics in them, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says they will get Jannat. Of course, besides this, there are many other things mentioned in other places, but we are talking about these verses. So the first thing was At-Ta'ibun. And the whole of last Jumu'ah went on that discussion of those who are Ta'ib. How they are beloved to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Because we fall in that category. We are committing sins day and night. So at least we make sincere tawbah, a firm determination that we want to give it up, we don't want to return to it. And fulfill the rights and obligations and responsibilities that fall on our shoulders with regards to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and His creation. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, deen, sharia, etc. So tawbah is a very, very quick mode of transport. It gets a person away from the farsh, from the earth, to the arsh within seconds. The person is down and out, is on the ground, is flat. But now sincere tawbah, it takes him very speedily to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. After that, he must show by way of his actions that he has made sincere tawbah. He must not remain in that gutter. If a person slips and falls in the gutter, then he doesn't remain there. You have heard this many times. He doesn't remain there. Person was walking, slipped and fell. And it so happened that that time there was some flood also. So the gutters were overflowing with all the sewage and all the other filth. Now this person, if he slips and falls, then we will say either he's a madman or he's very, very stupid and foolish. If he has to be quite satisfied and contented that I fell down in the gutter, now all this dirty, filthy water is entering my nostrils and my eyes and my ears and my mouth. So what's the problem? Nothing. It's enjoyable. If he says that, then we'll say that this person must be dispatched immediately. Don't even waste time. Look for the nearest asylum where you can get this person to, so that they can give him some treatment which they give to mad people. The sensible person will get up immediately. Immediately he will get up. In fact, he will look around that nobody is watching that I fell down. When a person falls accidentally, then he looks around also quickly that nobody saw me falling. So accidental sin, if a person committed, now he's worried. First of all, looks around that nobody saw him. But then he says that somebody did see me and there is Allah Ta'ala. So from the gutter he rushes to the bathroom, he takes a shower, he puts on new clothes, and then applies itar and fragrance, perfume, and he smells fresh and nice again. So that is exactly the person who committed some accidental sin. So now he doesn't remain even happy and satisfied in that state. It was accidental, but still he's not happy. Now he makes so much of tawbah that he becomes clean, and then he applies the fragrance and perfume of zikr, tilawat, ibadat, and he's fresh again. Allah Ta'ala cleans and purifies his heart. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, for the ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there were two things of security and protection. One was the wujud and the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the other is istighfar. Two things. Amanan. So one of it, that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has been raised. He was taken away from this earth. We believe in his hayat, but from amongst the companions and from the surface of this earth, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala took him away. So now the only thing that is left now is istighfar. Because whilst Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was amongst them, then no matter how much the kuffar said, they tell that Allah to bring the azab upon us, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was praying for the hidayat. So some azab came here, some punishment there, some calamity there, but all of them were not destroyed like the nations of the past. So he said, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is out from the earth and from amongst us. But the other aman and the other security and protection is istighfar. Because Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. That until you are amongst them, Allah Ta'ala will not send that kind of azab which will wipe all of them out completely. Just give you an explanation. And until they go on making istighfar. Now those people were not even believers. They didn't believe in Allah Ta'ala. They didn't believe in Akhirat, in Jannat, Jahannam. But in their own way, some of them used to make istighfar, seek forgiveness. The Christians, the Jews, according to their books, they were seeking some forgiveness, some istighfar. So Hazrat Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali, in Sharah of Mishkat Sharif, then he states that إِذَا كَانَ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ يَنْفَعُ الْكُفَّارِ. That if istighfar was also benefiting the kuffar to some extent, that Allah Ta'ala's azab didn't come down upon them. So then, كَيْفَ لَا يُفِيدُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْأَبْرَارِ. That how is it then after that, that mu'mineen who are abrar, pious, righteous, if they are going to make istighfar, why is it that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will not give them that security? Why it will not benefit them? So in the state that we are, we have to increase that istighfar. People say, what is the purpose of this istighfar all the time? That is the purpose. So that we may stay under the protection of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That we are committing so much of sins, that nations of the past were wiped out for those very sins which we are committing these days. If we have to look at the sins that are being committed by the Muslim Ummah today, whether it's homosexuality, lesbianism, and all the other crimes of zina, stealing, and the filth that we watch, and the filth that we listen to, and the haram that we indulge in, these type of sins in the past, one person committed and nations were wiped out. 70,000 people in the Bani Israel, one person committed adultery. And on that day, 70,000 people lost their lives. We are all talking about loss of lives. One person's adultery, 70,000 people. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when His azab comes, then it is not going to bypass the good and the pious and the righteous. They will get shahadat. We will say they got a form of shahadat. If they were not sinful, they got some kind of shahadat. But the thing is, those loss of lives took place because of that adultery. So in those days, that is what used to happen. In these days, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is so merciful, so forgiving, that so much of sins are being committed, but still He overlooks to such an extent. It again reminds me of that incident of Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adham Rahmatullah Alayh. And if it comes to my mind, then there is some reason for it. It might be beneficial for me or for whoever may not have heard it. Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adham Rahmatullah Alayh was a king of Balkh at that time. After that, he gave up his kingdom and he adopted the line of faqiri, got his muhabbat and taluk with Allah Ta'ala, and it's a long story. But on one occasion, one young person came to him and he said that I just can't seem to give up sins. So give me some kind of prescription that I continue with my life of sins also and I don't get punished by Allah too. So what a kind of request. But the Allah Wallahs, they don't reject anybody. When a person comes, they try to find a solution to his problem. They embrace him, they hug him, they tell him, come, as long as you have come. This clearly indicates that this person has got khawf of Allah Ta'ala. They read between the lines that this person is making a joke or he is serious. Another person, if he had said that, they would have kicked him out from there. Said, you are making a mockery of deen. But here this young person with tears in his eyes is saying, I just can't seem to give up sins. And so now show me a way out. And also I'm afraid of the punishment of Allah Ta'ala. So reading between the lines, what does it mean? It means that this person has got muhabbat of Allah. He has got that khawf and fear of his azab. But he's weak. He's overpowered by nafs and shaitan. And this person is wanting a way out in his problem. So they hug and embrace such people and they try and assist them out of their problem. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how famous that hadith sharif is. Where that young person came, and you may have also heard it many, many times. The young person came and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me the permission to commit adultery or fornication. Give me the permission to commit fornication, zina. Nabi alayhi salam, now the sahabas got very angry. What a kind of request this young person is making. But they again, this person coming and asking for permission, what does it mean? It was the early days of Islam and the early days of these masail. So it shows that he has got khawf of Allah Ta'ala. But he's young and he seems to be overpowered. And those were the days when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was still making tarbiyah of the sahabas. So the sahabi says, give me that permission. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, leave him. And then he asked him that whomsoever you are going to commit, that have you got a mother? He said, yes, I have a mother. If somebody commits adultery or fornication with your mother, you'll be happy. You'll like it. You'll allow the person to do it. He said, no. You have a daughter? Yes. Or you have a sister, you have aunt. He asked different people, he took different people's names. And then on every one and each one he said that I will never allow it. How can I allow adultery with my aunt, with my sister, with my mother? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, my dear young friend, I'm just explaining to you that what you will be doing with whomsoever you are going to commit adultery or zina, won't she be somebody's mother? Won't she be somebody's sister? Won't she be somebody's aunt, somebody's daughter? So if you don't like these things to be done to you, your daughter, your aunt, your mother, your sister, then how are you prepared to do the same thing to somebody else's mother, sister and daughter? My young friends, listen carefully what I'm saying. Think at that time, this woman is somebody's sister, somebody's mother, somebody's daughter. Even if she is throwing herself at you, think that she's gone off her head, but she is somebody's daughter. I must respect her. She is the bandi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So then he said, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the sahabi says, put his hand on my chest. And he gave me three du'as. Allahumma khfir zambah, wa tahhir qalbah, wa hassin farjah. O Allah, forgive his sins. Clean and purify his heart. Clean and purify his heart. And protect him from zina. The sahabi says after that, even the thought of zina didn't come in my heart. He felt the coolness of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on his chest. Now that was a dua that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave to him. But the point that I was bringing across is that there, look at the request, the type of request, and what was the response of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So here also this person tells Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayhi that I want to commit sins. I just can't seem to stop committing. I want some way out where I can do whatever I'm doing, but at the same time I must not get punished for it. So Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayhi, seeing that this person has got khawf of Allah Ta'ala, but just that he's being overpowered by nafs and shaitan. So now he started explaining to him. He said, no problem, I've got a way out for you. So he got very happy, here's at least somebody that found a way out for me. Like once one young girl with disheveled hair and completely in a different world altogether from the outside of the madrasah, She just dashed into the office. Fortunately, there was somebody there. So she came and said that, Walana, you all say drugs are haram. So I could see she's on a high. So I said, who says drugs are haram? She says, you all say drugs are haram. Maulana said drugs are haram. I said, no, I never said that. Did I say that? So I said, then what do you say? I said, if drugs are prescribed by a doctor, by way of medication, then those drugs are not haram. I'm also taking some drugs of that kind. But if those drugs are intended to take you into cloud nine and above the heavens and give you a high, and then I explained to her, gave her some nasihat advice. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave her hidayat. But the thing is, so he also told him, he said, no problem, if you want to commit sins, you commit sins. But only thing, commit it such a place that Allah doesn't see you there. You want to commit and you don't want to get punished, so commit the sins. Indulge in your adultery, fornication or whatever you want to indulge in, but only thing, do it somewhere where Allah ta'ala doesn't see you. So he said, Shaykh, how can I ever commit sin at a place where my Allah is not going to see me? Allah ta'ala will definitely watch me wherever I may be. He said, okay, well, if that is not possible, so then stop eating the rizq of Allah ta'ala. The food which you are eating, which is giving you strength and health in your body. How can a person commit zina if he is trapped on to the machines in the hospital? And all the tubes are there attached to his body. Or he has been starving for a number of days. Go and ask that person, do you want food now or do you want that beloved of yours? And see what's the response. When the person is starving, at that time, ask him what does he want. So it shows it's that food which is coming into our body and is giving us energy that we are wanting to commit zina and all the rest of the sins. So he says, stop eating that food. So that on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala asks you that, oh my servant, why did you commit all these sins? So then you can say, oh Allah, I didn't eat the rizq that you gave me. I didn't eat anything that you provided by way of sustenance. All the food that came to my house, I never ate. Whether it's fruits, vegetable, meat, anything, because it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who is providing those things. So he said, I didn't make use of that. He said, yeah, Shaykh, how can I ever do that? I have to eat to live. So if you have to eat to live, and the rizq is provided by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, so then, the third thing is this. The third way out is this, that get out of the kingdom of Allah ta'ala. Ya ma'ashar al-jinn wal-insi in istata'tum an tanfuzu min aqtari as-samawati wal-ard fanfuzu la tanfuzuna illa bisultan fabi-ayyi ala'i rabbikuma tukazziban. So if you can get out of the earth, out of the heavens, get out. Get out from there. Get away from the kingdom of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So you will never be able to get out. With whose authority you will be able to get out from the heavens and the earth? Which namats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala are you going to deny and refuse that it is not the namat of Allah ta'ala? In those days there should be shops at the bottom and houses on top in the small towns, most of the places, shops at the bottom, houses on top. So one alim said, Niche dukan upar makan, fabi ayya ala e rabbikuma tukazziban. You got shop at the bottom, you got house on top. What a ni'mat of Allah. Niche dukan upar makan, fabi ayya ala e rabbikuma tukazziban. So he said, you will never be able to come out. How can you get out of it? So he said, all right, if that is not possible, he said, I can't do that. If that is not possible, say, when the angel of death comes to you, you must tell the angel of death that who are you? Who ordered you to come and visit me? Don't you know who I am? I am not going to come with you. So he said, how can I tell the angel of death that? إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. Once the time comes, there's no respite after that. So he says, all right, if you cannot do that, then when the Munkar Nakir come in the grave and start questioning you, then you must say, get out of my grave. He said, that too I can't do. They say, on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah Ta'ala says, now go into hellfire, because of all the indulgences, all the vices, all the evils, all the haram, then you must become stubborn. You must say, oh Allah, I'm not going into Jahannam. What authority you have to send me into Jahannam? Na'uzubillah. So he says, Shaykh, how can I ever do anything like that? He says, when you can't do any of those things, then why commit sins? When you can't do any of these things, so many I gave you, one whole list of options, and each and every one you say, I cannot, I cannot, I cannot. So then why disobey that Allah in whose hands your life is? Why disobey that Allah in whose hands your life is, in whose hands your sight is, in whose hands your hearing and speech is, in whose hands every ni'mat is? Why disobey Him? For a few years of your life, restrain yourself. So that is the purpose. If the person is going to make sincere tawbah, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will get pleased, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will then give him salvation, give him najat. And in the akhirat, He will give him whatever is in the akhirat. But even in this world, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will bless him with such ni'mat, such bounties. And the greatest bounty will that be of sukoon that Allah ta'ala will give in his heart. Allah ta'ala will shower his different types of bounties upon him. But those gems that Allah ta'ala will give him in his heart, they will be priceless. They will be priceless gems. You cannot put a price tag on those gems. But Allah ta'ala will give it inside. And those are the gems which you heard many times, which Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Alayhi used to tell the Mughal kings. Oh, you kings, when you are going to go, you'll leave your throne and crown and everything behind. But when Waliullah will go, he will take those diamonds with him. Those diamonds are the diamonds of the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala which he has in his heart. So it's a very beautiful life. Obedience to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala brings so much of peace and contentment and satisfaction in a life. Wallah, there is some reality, some haqiqat in it. It's not a fantasy world that we are talking about. Bring Allah into our lives and then see what we get. But we have to put that one leg on that nafs. Nafs is our declared enemy. There's definitely a lot of temptation out there, plenty of temptation. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Allah Ta'ala calls them rijal. They are the real true men. That bay and tijara and all these things don't divert them from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. They are rijal. So temptation will be there for everybody. But what is the difference then between the person who doesn't believe in Allah Ta'ala and the one who believes in Allah Ta'ala? The person who doesn't believe in the Akhirat, the day of judgment, Jannah, Jahannam, and the person who believes in Akhirat, day of judgment. What is the difference? Those who disbelieve, they go hook, line and sinker for all those evils. And if the believer also does the same thing, then what is the difference? So this Mubarak month is ending. It's coming to an end. The last flight of this month is left for tonight, of the last 10 days of Ramadan. The odd nights, the 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, are all gone. Those flights are gone, finished. You cannot bring back a second from those flights. And you cannot bring that. You can't say that there was some turbulence there. That's why those flights will come back. Or there was some technical fault in the plane, so the flight will return. Those flights are gone. Really look at it like that. Just one more flight that is left. Let us make the best of it. Let us not be negligent. And as I mentioned this morning's bayan also, that those who are owners of businesses, no difference will come in your takings. Check it out at the end of the month. In fact, you might even get more. If you give half an hour early off to the Muslim brothers that are working, that go, tonight is the last night of those two odd nights. Make the best of it. Spend the night, as much of it as you can in the masjid. Get that rahmat and that barakat and that noor that pours in these nights. And it's the last flight, you don't know whether you will see another one next year. How many of them were unable to see this Ramadan? And so many of them were living just before the 20th of Ramadan, they passed away. So let us make the best of it. Inshallah, the khatam of the Quran Sharif, which the hafizes sit and recite, so nobody is going to get tired also. It will take about half an hour to read that, and thereafter, inshallah, we'll make dua. And it will be 10 minutes after the Taraweeh prayers, inshallah. But it's not necessary, I'm not saying you must come here, wherever you are. Try and spend some time in the masjid, and this one night, dedicate it for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ibadat. Many, many nights we have spent in many, many things. Let's dedicate this one night for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ibadat. May Allah ta'ala reward us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. May He remove the difficulties, hardships and problems of the entire ummah. And especially in this month of Ramadan, when Fallujah is being bombed, Palestine, everywhere, they can't fast, they can't have sehri, they can't have iftar. When we are sitting in comfort and having everything, make dua Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties and problems. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.